Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. All right, we got... several announcements here in regard to our prayer. And first of all, in regard to Thomas. Now, this is powerful. He went to the doctor today for a check, and he is now, his body is 100% donor cell. None of his old cells are even in his body. 100% donor cell. And they're just, I mean, it's just each few weeks it gets better and better and better. And they're changing his scheduling of different medicines and things. And so just continue to be in prayer for Thomas. And that's just wonderful, wonderful news. Now, my son-in-law, actually Judah's son-in-law, of course, but Dennis Hensel, please be in prayer for Dennis. He goes in Friday for the biopsy. John Hint says, just tell Judith a biopsy is better than an autopsy. Biopsy Friday morning. And so please be in prayer. It's just really what's going on. Now, as far as Romeo, Romeo's, he has three sons. Two are in the hospital with this fever. And one of the son's sons, in other words, Romeo's grandson, is in the hospital. And Ramsey, Gabriel, are in the hospital. And they called the first son, Bobby, and he has the fever, but he's not in the hospital. So let's please be in prayer for Romeo and his three sons. Please be in prayer for Thomas. Be in prayer for Dennis Hensel. Now, our friend of the church, just unbelievable news I just found out. The doctor told this person that he expected her to be dead by now. The liver, the problem in the liver is over 50% gone. This person's lost over 20 pounds of cancer stuff, so that's gone. That's great. This person's at home and on no medication. So just continue to be in prayer. And that's quite a story. Be in prayer for Tish. She will have a test tomorrow, and they'll know more about her problem next week. So we'll have that next week. Now, those are the ones that I have. Any other prayer requests and knowledge about prayer? Okay. All right. Let's move into our study. We're studying the Lord's Prayer. And so let's begin with the Word of Prayer and dealing with trusting yourself to see if you're trusting the Spirit. Spirit's the teacher of opening up to us this prayer. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we have so much to learn from our Lord's Prayer, from His miracles, from His teaching, but from His prayer, Heavenly Father, we have so much to learn. Pray Your Spirit will open our eyes to the things You'd have us to see, Father. We pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Now, 6-8, He lays the foundation of why He is praying for these 11 disciples. Verses 9-19, the Lord's petition. The Lord's prayer for the disciples. Now, we're going to read 9-19 together here. But as we read them, I want you to note, pay attention, that Jesus Christ's prayer for them is guided by their needs. It's guided by their needs. And again, we see the love of Jesus Christ. Remember, love observes. The love of Jesus Christ sees a need and then does what He can to meet that need. So, we learn something about prayer from Jesus Christ. Now let's take a look and just study verses or read 9 through 19, the prayer of Jesus Christ for the disciples. All right, verse 9. I ask, I petition, I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom thou hast given me, for they are mine. And all things that are mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep them in thy name, the name which thou hast given me, that they may be one even as we are. So he's continued his petition for them. Now while I was with them, I was keeping them in thy name, which thou hast given me. And I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask thee to take them out of the world. That's very important. I don't ask that you take them out of the conflict. I don't ask that you take them out of the tribulation, but to keep them from the evil one, that they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Next petition, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. As thou didst send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves are made also may be sanctified in truth. Okay, so the petitions of Jesus Christ in this part of the prayer is based on their needs. Now, how many times have you said to yourself, maybe even out loud, I've said it out loud, I wish there was more I could do than just pray. I'm going to pray for you, but I just wish there was more that I could do. And while we understand the desires of our own hearts, I want you to stop now and think about what you're about to do. You're about to go to the sovereign, omnipotent God and pray for the needs of someone else. And think about this. In doing that, you are following the example of Jesus Christ. Out of your love, you see their needs of someone, and you, like our Lord, pray for their needs. This is powerful stuff, people. We're just following an example of Jesus Christ. Here is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And what does He do for His disciples? He sees their need, and He goes to the Heavenly Father on their behalf. And people, we follow His example of love. We do exactly what He did. So don't ever think, well, this isn't very much. And if you tell you to say to somebody, I'll pray for you, I hope you mean it. I remember a cartoon I saw once. It was just classy. This guy is approaching another Christian, and he goes, oh, Father, I prayed for John Brown, and then it gets better. I've been praying for you, my friend. I hope if you say to somebody, I'm going to be in prayer, that you mean it. This is powerful stuff. This is an example that Jesus Christ set for us. He loves these men. He sees their need. He's not going to be there physically to help them. And so He prays for them. So when you love someone, you see their needs, you do one of two things. First, you help them if you can. You help them if you can. Take a look at 1 John, 1 John chapter 3. And let's read together 16 and 17. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? So people, it's very simple. If you see a believer in need of something and you can help them, spiritual love, you help them. You don't walk away wearing your own coat saying, well, I'll pray you get a coat. That's the first thing. Now, secondly, you go, when you cannot do anything like that, you go to the Father in prayer for their needs. John 17, 9 through 26. You go to the Father in regard to their needs. So, this is dealing with prayer, people. We're going to learn so much about prayer. We already have learned a lot. We're going to learn a lot more about prayer as we study this. We're going to learn about Jesus Christ's prayer. And learn about prayer from Jesus Christ. He sees a need. He's going to be gone. He prays for him. We see a need. We can't help. We go to the Heavenly Father. Now let me give you a warning. Let me give you a warning about prayer. You may be the answer to your own prayers. Not always, but you may be the answer to the prayers. Example, you pray for them to have a coat. It may be your coat. See? You pray for the church's finance to be met. It may come out of your pocket. You pray for a teacher, for the young people in the church. You may be that teacher. So you pray for the needs of others. God may answer that prayer through you. You may be the one God the Father is going to send to help somebody physically or financially or emotionally, whatever it may be, people. So this is a warning about prayer. Prayer is not a cop-out. Prayer is not a substitute. Prayer is a dynamic between you, God the Father, and the person you're in prayer for. Now, there's another major point that I want to make before we move on. There are those who teach that this prayer part, the part of this prayer, is just for the disciples and excludes all members of the church. And by the way, there are those who believe and teach that the chapters 13 through 17 have nothing to do with the church age believer, but only with the disciples. All the teaching on the Holy Spirit, all the teaching on prayer, and all the things we saw is just for the disciples. It's not for us. At all. Well, let's answer this. One, if we use their hermeneutics is the principle for studying the Bible. If we use their hermeneutics, then Romans was written just to the Romans. Colossians, written just to Colossae. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, just to the believers in Thessalonica. And so forth. If we use that type of reading, we've got to be consistent. Two, Jesus Christ is revealing His heart for all believers of the church age and sets an example for us all in our own prayers. And then three, look at verse 20, John 17, verse 20. I do not ask in behalf of these alone, these 11 alone, but for all those who believe in me through their word. People, that settles it for me. Verse 20 says, no, it's for everybody. So that just takes care of those who try to say, well, this section is just for the disciples. No, it's for everyone. He's zeroing in on his disciples because he's been with them 3 years. He's getting ready to die, and he knows they're going to have to go on without him. Okay, let's go back now and look at verse 9. Gospel of John 17, verse 9. I ask on their behalf, I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. I ask, I do not ask. People, this is powerful stuff. You see this? Jesus Christ specifically states that he does not pray here for the world. He states it. I do not pray for unbelievers. It is so specific that he even repeats the verb to ask, to make request. He repeats it. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world. Now, I'm sure this offends some people. But people, we've got to learn about Jesus Christ. We've got to learn about prayer. He is getting ready to die for the sins of the world. He's getting ready to die for every unbeliever. And then rise again, rise from the dead. And then depart from planet Earth and return to the Father. And right now, in this intensified moment, those who believed in Him and walked with Him are strongly on His mind. Not those who rejected Him. And later on in the prayer, He will pray for us. For everyone who believes in Him. He dies for all unbelievers. Here he prays for those who will believe. He dies for all unbelievers, but here he prays for those who believe. People, there's a time to pray for believers. There's a time to even pray for certain believers. There's a time not to pray for unbelievers. There's a time not even to pray for certain believers. Often in my own personal private prayer time, I pray for believers who are struggling to walk in the filling of the Spirit by faith alone. I pray for, and I name people in this assembly, I name you. I pray for those who are struggling to love as Christ loved. Routinely, I pray for just a few pastors, because that's all I know, who know how to be filled with the Spirit by faith. In their study, and in their teaching of the precious Word of God. These are the ones in the battle. These are the ones in the battle. I mean, let's put it in a conflict context. You're out on the battlefield, and the bombs are going, machine guns are going, and all this stuff are going. You're not going to pray for the secretary way back here in the United States sitting in an air-conditioned room filling out forms. I'm sorry. They're on your team. They're in personnel, military personnel. But you're going to pray for those right now who are under the fire. Got to put this in context. That doesn't mean you don't care about this other person. It means you don't care about the other belief. But these are the ones in the battle. These are the ones you pray for. Be careful of just rambling in your prayer life, people. It's one thing about Jesus Christ's prayers. Boom, 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 boom. Don't just ramble. Have your category and your understanding of who and what you're praying for and whom you're praying for and whom you're not praying for. So this is very important stuff. There's a time to pray for certain believers. Time not to pray for certain believers. Certain believers don't walk in the Spirit, don't want to walk in the Spirit. I have a very sharp prayer for them. Holy Spirit, convict them. Knock them around. Get their attention, whatever it takes. Now, let me go back to those who are walking in the fire of the Holy Spirit. See? So this is very important stuff in dealing with our own prayers. And just don't want to start rambling. And really, there's only one prayer we pray for the unbeliever, convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit. That they get the gospel clearly, and that the Holy Spirit convicts them, and they respond. That's all we can really pray for an unbeliever in reference to the gospel. But people, we have so many different things we can pray for one another, just as we're going to go through the various things that Jesus Christ prayed for. We can pray these things for one another. Their needs, their courage, their continual walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, taking care of their SAD, taking care of the problems in their life, that they will trust, that they will just walk by faith, that they will sense the Holy Spirit pouring in peace, love, joy. These are the things we pray for one another, because we're all in this battle. Every one of us are in tribulation of some type. So we're going to learn a great deal of things to pray for from Jesus Christ. We get a guidance from Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 19. Boy, if you ever need an outline for praying for a believer, pray that they are empowered by the Holy Spirit to know the love of Jesus Christ. That surpasses understanding. That's a powerful prayer. Or the prayer of dealing with Peter, 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and to the day of eternity. Pray that they learn the Word. I pray a lot for those who come here on Sunday morning that somehow they'll start on Sunday night. I don't know what's happening to those prayers. It isn't working. But that's my prayer, that the Holy Spirit will just convict. Because I sense that they care a little bit about the Word, they wouldn't go to this kind of church. There's no great privilege of coming to a church like this. No big programs, no big music programs, no this, no that, no business connections, and on and on and on. It's just study the Bible. So I pray that something will happen that will be convicted to take in more and more of the truth of the Word. So I hope that this prayer of Jesus Christ encourages you to pray. I hope it encourages you to pray for me, for my study, my teaching, my health. Pray for one another. Okay, 17:9. Prayer of Jesus Christ. I myself, emphatic pronoun. I myself ask. Present active indicative of erotao. And you're familiar with this word. This, remember, there are two words for prayer and for asking. One is between equals. An equal ask an equal, that's the erotao. There's another Greek word for prayer used in our, that we've seen in our study in John 14, 15, and 16. Inferior to superior. That's when we pray to God the Father. See? But here Jesus Christ is on equal terms with the Father. I ask. And then it says, on their behalf. Their, this is a reference to those that Jesus Christ has come to know and walk with. Those 11 men who walked with Him, they responded to His person. They responded to His words. They responded to His work on the cross. On their behalf, introduces the subject of His petition, their interests, their needs. And then He specifically says, people, you got to think, this is Jesus Christ praying. I do not ask on behalf of the world. Let's make this clear where my soul is. He's getting ready to die. Jesus Christ, Jesus, the strongest negative. Ooh, I absolutely do not pray on behalf of the world here. Doesn't Jesus Christ care about unbelievers? How ridiculous a question. He's getting ready to die for them. How much more can you care? But right now in His prayer, it's about those who follow Him. About those who believe. I'm always interested when I go somewhere else and teach on the new commandment. We're to love one another, believers. Inevitably, somebody will come up, well, aren't we supposed to love unbelievers? And you know, I'm kind of catty here, but I've learned to say, oh, yes, do you care? When's the last time you witnessed to an unbeliever? Oh, well, no, you just wanted to challenge me on theology. You don't really care. But the Scripture says, pray for one another, other believers. Not to the exclusion of praying for unbelievers, but the new commandment is for believers. And people, it's very simple. It's tough to love a believer. It's a piece of cake to love an unbeliever. I don't expect anything out of them. But you let a believer cross you, you let a believer do you in and cheat you, or on and on and on, that's tough. Well, they just act this way. It's tough to love a believer. Therefore, the new commandment. All right. And by the way, before someone puts forward that Jesus Christ does not pray for unbelievers, look at verse 23. Look at verse 23. I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, and the world may know. That's the unbelievers may know that thou didst send me. So he prays for the unbelievers, that they will know who and what he is. But people, we have to make more than just a theological distinction. People, listen now. We have to make more than a theological distinction between unbelievers and believers. Between those who believe in Jesus Christ and those who refuse to believe in Jesus Christ. This distinction must be made in our love. Do not be unequally yoked. In our prayers, in our activities. You get involved with unbelievers and they're going to take you away from your understanding of Jesus Christ, your relationship with Him, and the influence of them. So in context, the world is a body of those who hate Jesus Christ, are the enemies of Jesus Christ, refuse to believe in Jesus Christ. I don't pray for those right now. They're not my issue. Do you understand that, Father? I am praying now for those who follow me. I am praying basically for 11 people. So this is very important to Jesus Christ. Look at verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them. People, he prays for them. He cares about them. Look at verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I'm not praying about the world right now. I'm praying for those who are followers of me, believers in me. And let me tell you something from the Lord's Prayer, people. We are valuable to Jesus Christ. Everyone who's believed in Jesus Christ are precious to Him. Everyone. Your husband, your wife, your family, your friends, everyone is a believer. They are precious to Jesus Christ. And I want you to note this. From the prayer. I want to take a moment of your time, show you from this prayer how precious you are. And remember from verse 20, this applies to all of us, not just the 11. So let me just show you. Point one. Jesus Christ has given eternal life to all who believe in Him. Verse 2. Two. Jesus Christ manifests the name, the person of God the Father. Verse 6. Three, Jesus Christ gave to us the words, the gospel, that the Father has given Him. Verse 8. Four, Jesus Christ prays for those who believed in Him. End of verse 8 and verse 9. Five, He prays that we be kept secure. Verse 11. Six. He prays that we be one. One. Unity. The church. Verse 11. Seven. Jesus Christ keeps believers in His name and guards them. Verse 11. All right, verse 12. 8. Jesus Christ prays that we may have His joy. Verse 13. Nine, He does not pray that we're taken out of the conflict, but protected from evil. Verse 15. 10, Jesus Christ prays that we be sanctified in truth. Verse 17. 11, Jesus Christ sends them, us, into the world. Verse 18. 12, in verse 19, sanctified in Him. People He cares, we're precious. You may not be precious to people, but you're precious to Him. And I want to tell you something, you're also precious and important to God the Father. First of all, God the Father gives everyone who believes to His Son. People, God the Father loves His Son, and He's going to only give His Son something precious to Him. And God the Father has given to His Son everyone who believes in Him. Verses 2, 6, and 9. 2. First we belong to God the Father, after believing in Jesus Christ, and then given to the Son. Verses 6 and 9. So people, all I'm pointing out here, and I want to take the time to show you, you're loved by Jesus Christ. You're precious to Him. That's why He's spending His time in prayer. He's getting ready to leave. He cares. You love someone, the husband, generally the husband precedes the wife, but it can be the other way. But he may make preparation. I want to take care of her. I want this taken care of, this taken care of. I don't want her out of the world with me. I'm going. See? Someone you're married to, someone you love, precedes you. They don't want you out of the world before God's timing. I want you to stay here. Be protected, but stay here and fulfill the mission. That's love. This is the love of Christ. I do not pray that they be taken out. He says that specifically. I don't pray they be removed. Take them out of this rotten world like I am. No. Leave them in the world. Protect them. This is very important insight for personal relationships. Okay, back to verse 9. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world. Jesus Christ uses two negatives. He uses the negative two other times in this prayer. Three times He uses the negative in our verse and then verse 15. Look at verse 15. I do not ask thee to take them out of the world. And people, that's important. I want you to go with me if I die. No, that's not caring about God and His plan. Jesus Christ loves these people, but they stay here. I'm not praying you take them out. And then verse 20. Look at verse 20 for the third use of the negative. I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for all who will believe in me and throughout the church age. Okay, verse 9. But of those, I do not ask in behalf of the world, but of those whom Thou hast given me, for they are mine. We have seen over and over, and especially in the Psalms, that expressing the grounds upon which you make your request before God is a common occurrence, and it's okay. In the Psalms, for an example, according to your love, according to the covenant, according to your faithfulness, according to your righteousness. I'm asking these things not because of who and what I am. I don't deserve it, earn them. But according to your love, your faithfulness, your righteousness, your goodness, on these basis, I come to you and ask and make this request. Jesus Christ is giving the grounds of the request. But of those whom Thou hast given me, for they are mine. Okay, the word but. It's a strong conjunction of contrast, contrasting believers and the world. People were in a spiritual warfare where the world literally hates Christians. Now, America, we've been a little deceived by all this. We've been kind of peaceful about it, not aware. But all throughout the world, people, Christians are aware. The world hates them. And we're getting more and more of that here. And it's going to get worse, I believe. You're going to be well aware, hey, I'm not like just because I'm a Christian. How many times have we talked and seen that, well, this person is like just because they're a Jew. Ooh, that's so bad. It may come about they don't like you just because you're a Christian. It's because you're a believer in Jesus Christ. And the world is very vicious. The world is vicious. Racially. Economically. And in the area of the spiritual. And they hate us because we are Christians. Let's note a few things. One, the point here is not for us to become weird about the hatred of the world. Don't go around with a martyr syndrome. Oh, the world hates me. Woe am I. Don't do that. Don't get weird. Don't develop a martyr syndrome. Two, the point here is to know what is going on in the invisible spiritual warfare. Three, people, the world, most often do not know why they're anti-Semitic. But they are, and often they do not know why they hate Jesus Christ and use his name as a curse word, but they do. And they don't know why they resent Christians, but they do. We studied this in chapter 16. They don't even know why. Four, the point here is to realize and know and realize that the world hates Christ and therefore hates those who believe in him. Five, this is a warning. Not to get caught up in the world. People, which multitude of believers do. And this is horrible in the eyes of God to get caught up in the world. Now, a lot of believers pride themselves staying away from certain categories of sins, and they don't do this and they don't do that, but they are so involved with the world, with the norms and standards of the world. The materialism of the world. They are so obsessed with having the possessions of the world. They're not in line. They're not in caring about Christ and their witness of Christ. And see, I don't do these sins. I don't do that. I'm basically a nice person. I'm basically a moral person. I'm basically a good person. All that. But they're so caught up in the world and the activities of the world. Don't have time for church. Don't have time for Bible study. Don't have time for prayer. Don't have time for all this stuff. I'm busy. What does I'm busy mean? I'm busy in the world's business. I'm busy in the world's business. And people, when you're too busy for Bible study, and you're too busy for concentrated prayer, you're too busy. One of the beautiful things about the life of Christ is often he would steal away to go into prayer. But of those whom thou hast given me, for they are mine. Now think about this one line. And you should understand why Jesus Christ prays the way he does. And why he prays just for those who believe in him and not those of the world. We are his. But of those whom thou hast given me, they are mine. People, we belong to him. because of Him. Now I belong to Jesus. See? And this isn't just for time. This is for all eternity. Think about this. For Jesus Christ is thinking about it in His prayer. And the more you think about it, the more it will affect and influence your life. I belong to Him. I don't belong to this world. I'm getting so caught up in the things of this world. I don't belong to this world. I belong to Him. But those whom Thou hast given Me, conjunction of contrast, believer and unbeliever. And then he translates, the translators, let me just share this with you. The translators left out the repeating of the very important preposition concerning. Concerning. On their behalf. They repeat the verb to ask, but they do not repeat the important preposition peri, introducing the central prayer, a point of the prayer. This prayer, this preposition occurs three times in this one verse. Look at your passage and let me show it to you. I ask concerning those who believe. Then we have a repeat. I do not ask concerning those who do not believe, but I ask concerning. Three different times. There's very important prepositions there. Concerning. Their welfare, their benefit, those that you have given to Me. So I just want to show you this prayer. I'm praying concerning these people. I do not pray concerning these people. I pray concerning these people. What is important to them? What's important to Me? What they need. Those you have given Me. Perfect active indicative of didomi, the normal word for giving. The perfect tense here places emphasis on the present result of the past action. They, we belong to Him. These 11 people, these 11 disciples, hated by the world, despised by Israel. Yet they're precious to the Father and precious to Jesus Christ, and really they should be to us. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever thanked God for giving to us, giving to you, Jesus Christ? I imagine every one of you have. Thank you, Father, for sending Your Son. Thank Him just for sending His Son and giving His Son as a gift to us. Let me ask you another question. Have you ever thought about the fact that you are a precious gift of God the Father given to the Son? Do you ever thank God about that? Is that something we don't think about? I hope that every one of you have thanked God that He sent us His Son. But here's a little addition. You can thank God that He has given you to Jesus Christ. This is how important we are to God the Father, that He has given to Jesus Christ His Son, us, as a gift. This is how important your husband is. This is how important your wife is. This is how important believing friends are. This is how important believing friends at church are. They are a gift from God the Father to the Son. Think about this next time you start to gossip. Think about this next time you start to slander. This person is a gift from God the Father to Jesus Christ. Now, I like the way D.A. Carson points out, these are two gifts, but they're not parallel. God's gift to Jesus Christ is for our good and the glory of the Father. God's gift of us to Jesus Christ is for our good and the glory of Jesus Christ. Just for, I like the way he worded that, so I wanted to repeat that. D.A. Carson points out these two gifts, gift of Jesus Christ to us, the gift of us to Jesus Christ by God the Father. God the Father gave the gift of His Son to us. God the Father gave us as a gift to His Son. But these two gifts are not parallel. God's gift of Jesus Christ to us is for our good and the glory of the Father. God's gift of us to Jesus Christ is for our good and for the glory of Jesus Christ. We did not earn or deserve to receive the gift or to be the gift. Jesus Christ values those that the Father has given Him. How often do you pray, for those whom the Father has put into your life. Often you pray for your husband, your wife, your friends, your children. See, these are people that God put into your life. They're gifts from God. Okay. These are graciously given for your spiritual life. There are people so caught up in themselves, they do not thank God for those He has placed in their life and pray for them. We have to learn to pray as Jesus Christ prayed. He thanks the Father for those that the Father has given to Him. You and I should thank for those that He's given to us. Not gossiping, not slandering, not biting one another, as Paul says in Galatians 5. So I just put into yours as a challenge from this prayer. How often do you pray for others that God has put into your life? Others in this church. Pray for me as the pastor. Jim Langston, Wes Tuttle, the Coopers, the Daggs, the Wise, the Webbs, everybody, one another. How often do you pray for them? How often do you pray for those whom God has graciously given into your life? Pray for their benefit, their spiritual life in the battle. Okay, he says here, but I ask, petition, pray concerning those whom thou hast graciously given me. Then he adds a phrase of why they are so special to him. For they are thine. For is a causal, because they're thine. How precious is that? Jesus Christ looks at, he's looking at the 11, but he looks at all believers, verse 20. They all belong to him. I came, I died on the cross, they're saved by faith in me, they belong to you. They are thine. Your husband, your wife, your children, your friends, your parents, everyone's a believer in your life. These people in your life are believers. They belong to God. And He's graciously given them to Christ. They are thine. Present, active, indicative, absolute status quo. All right, let's take a summary of verse 9. Let's take a summary of verse 9. I ask concerning or on their behalf. I do not ask concerning behalf of the world, but concerning those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. Point one. Jesus Christ prays on behalf of, for the benefit of, those who have believed in him. That's a good example of our own prayer life. Those who believed in Jesus Christ. People, he knows Peter's about to betray him. He knows that. He prophesied it. He prophesied it before this prayer. Before the cock crows 3 days, you're going to deny me 3 times. He knows that. He loves him. Sin doesn't take us away from the love of Christ. Sin doesn't exclude us. Even denial. Two. He does not pray for those who reject him. He does not pray for those who rejected him, the world. Three, we must learn from Jesus Christ about prayer and praying for one another. Four, Jesus Christ prays for and values those given to him as a gift from God. Jesus Christ prays for and values those given him as a gift from God. I've been married over 2 years, and I don't think a day's passed I haven't thanked God for my wife. And I mean that. I don't think there's been a day that's passed. I don't think there's hardly a day, I know there's not a week, I don't thank God for every one of you. Especially on when I sit down to study throughout the week, and I go through and I start to lay out my prayer for my study, and I open my eyes, let me see things. For those who come, those who respond, those who want to know things that they need to know, Not maybe I need to know. They need to know. We all need to know. And this person needs to know. Guide me. And I thank you for them. They're pouring to Jesus Christ, so he thanks for them. 5. We should likewise value and pray for the spiritual benefit of those in our lives whom God has given to us. We should likewise value and pray for the spiritual benefit of those in our lives whom God has given to us. I don't know if you picked up on something on what I just said, the spiritual benefit. Yeah, I care about a person's finances, and I care about a person, but that's not the spiritual warfare unless that's the part of it. It's the spiritual life that's important, people. 6. Always be aware that you are precious to Jesus Christ and precious to God the Father. Be always thoughtful of the fact that every other believer is a gracious gift from God to Jesus Christ. Every other believer is a gracious gift from God to Jesus Christ. Now, you may be thinking about somebody and thinking, well, he'll probably give that gift back. No, Christ died for that person. Be always thankful for the fact that every other believer is a gracious gift from God to Jesus Christ. 8. We see here Jesus Christ's wonderful grace. These disciples had failed and failed over and over in a brief time that they were with Jesus Christ. Yet Jesus Christ values them and prays for them. The grace of Jesus Christ is not keeping track of their sins or of our sins and failures or shortcomings, but values us because we are in His Son. People, just remember, I like to point it out. Newspaper reporters and most Christians have one thing in common. They'll not forget your sins and they won't let you forget them. Jesus Christ doesn't even think about them. He sees you in Him. God sees you in His Son. Remember these things when you judge, malign, slander one another. We are to serve one another in love. We are to restore one another in a spirit of gentleness. We are to pray for one another. So remember these before gossip and slander. 9. What is to be grasped here? While Jesus Christ is praying exclusive for His disciples, does not mean He does not care about the world. He is getting ready to die for them. And finally, 10. While this prayer is exclusively in reference to His disciples, does not mean that the principles here are not for the whole church. 20. First, Jesus Christ petitioning here for His disciples. They are most special to Him. I love this. I'm not offended. Even if 20 were not there, I wouldn't be offended. I love this. This is the way, the kind of friend He was and is. This is the way, if this is the way He was with them, this is the way He'll be with me. This is the kind of friend He'll be with me. This is the kind of friend He was with them. I don't worry about that. Some people make a big deal about it. Even though we have 20, so there's my peace in that. But even if we didn't have 20, I love the friendship here. He cares about these men. He cares about doubting Thomas. I mean, Thomas, look, put your hand in my side. He didn't say, Thomas, you bum, I've been with you 3. Don't you know any doctrine? Don't you understand this? La, 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 la. No. Come put your hand here. He understands our weaknesses. Peter put his foot in his mouth all the time. That was fine. This is the kind of friend he was, and this is his prayer. And this is the way we ought to pray in regard to one another. So first, Jesus Christ is petitioning for his disciples. They are most special to him as apostles to Israel and the foundation of the church. But people, we've seen this is a pattern for all of our prayers in our whole life. That sets us up for verse 10. Let's at least read verse 10 now. I was hoping we had gotten through verse 10 tonight. And all things that are mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I have been glorified in them. Now, here again, we see the oneness of the Father and the Son. All things that are mine are thine. While this seems to be speaking of the disciples, in the context it refers to all persons, things, power, and glory. For an example, verse 2, all authority. Verse 5, all glory. Verse 8, even his words. That's inclusive in the all. All things are mine are thine. My authority, my glory, my words. And I have been glorified in them. This refers back to the petition in verse 1, glorify thy Son. Glorify thee. I glorify thee. Glorify me. So the importance of one of the primary message of verse 10, and this will complete verse 10. One, verse 10 shows the perfect union of the Father and the Son. Two, what follows in his prayer is taken from this unity. What follows in this prayer is taken from the unity of the Father and the Son. That's the importance of verse 10. Three, first, it lays the foundation for a perfect union of Jesus Christ and the Father, then of Jesus Christ and the disciples, and then of the disciples with one another. And finally, four, it lays the foundation for his prayer in verses 21 through 23, the oneness of the entire body of Christ. The oneness of the entire body of Christ. And so this sets us up next week. Begin verse 11 through 16. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Wow. Heavenly Father, we learned so much about Jesus Christ from this prayer. We learn so much of his love. We learn so much of his concern. He is our example. We're to follow him. We're to love as he loved. We're to pray as he prayed. Father, I pray you'll take the things we've seen. Let them become a solid foundation in our own souls and lives as we continue to imitate him and love more like him every day. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.